The text is the gospel reading from St. Luke. Jesus says, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. You think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Here ends our text. You can read this text and say, some Savior, in a disappointed way, because Jesus speaks of fire, distress, and division. Of course, the goal of all Scripture is that we come away from it saying, some Savior, in an amazed way. So how do we get from disappointment to amazement? This text is like a movie that shows you the end and works back to the beginning. Jesus says that he came to bring division. This is contrary to what people think about religion in general and Jesus in particular. People think there is legitimate cause for division in politics and sports. From Yellow Dog Democrats to Reagan Republicans to people who bleed burnt orange or maroon, divisions are accepted and expected in sports and politics. In religion, division is distasteful and wrong. Jesus says otherwise. He says, I have come to bring division on earth. People can think differently about politics and sports and not be divided from each other, but not about Jesus. Jesus is like a watershed. The water that falls on the western side of the Rockies flows to the Pacific Ocean. The water that falls on the eastern side flows to the Gulf. Water must divide at the Rockies. Likewise, people must divide at Jesus. He is either your Savior and Lord, or he is not. You either worship him, or you don't. You are either bound by his words, all of them, or you are not. When a person thinks of Jesus, affects the best human relationships. It divides fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, and brides and mothers-in-laws. Jesus doesn't say, this might or could happen. He says, it will. So you could sing, they'll know we are Christians by our divisions. Does that offend you? It's absolutely blasphemous to the world. The world thinks the most important relationships are between people. This is the plot line for virtually every TV or movie drama. There's a breakdown in relationship between people. The main characters struggle with his or her sins of breaking the relationship. The climax comes when he sees his life is meaningless without that relationship. The plot is worked out when the relationship is mended. The relationship between God and man is usually not even acknowledged. Or if it is, it's often the cause of the break between people and then compromising the relationship between God and man that mends the break between people. For example, the Christian father disowns his sinful daughter. In the end, he chooses the relationship with his daughter over his relationship with his God. And the world cheers. You know why these shows are popular? Because they are reality. You just think you are ready for the divisions Jesus promises he causes. Wait till what Jesus teaches gets in the way of your mother and child reunion, and then see what happens. Every sin, from sexual to false doctrine, every sin I've seen Christian parents embrace, overlook, or deny for the sake of a child. TV land rejoices and the angels mourn. But how can it be otherwise? Who can follow Jesus at the cost of losing his family? Back up a step. Go back to what Jesus says right before saying he brings division. The first division Jesus speaks of is between him and his father. The baptism Jesus speaks of is not the one he received from John. He's using baptism as a figure of being flooded by the wrath of God, as the Psalms do. All thy waves and thy billows have gone over me, says Psalm 42. And Psalm 88 says, thy wrath lies hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. In Mark 10, Jesus again uses baptism as a figure for his suffering under the wrath of God. The first division is between God the Father and God the Son. God the Father loaded all of the world's sins, all of your sins, upon his only beloved Son, until he could not stand the sight of him. Get out of my sight, the Father said on Calvary, and the Son made it so by refusing to shine on the Son. You just think the mother and child bond can't be broken. It can, as mothers who kill their children and fathers who abuse them prove. Scripture says that too. It says in Psalm 27, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Get that? Mothers and fathers can forsake their children, but the Lord won't. And yet, on Calvary, he does. He forsakes, he turns away from his Son to claim all us sinful sons and daughters. That's the division to focus on between God the Father and God the Son. The first division is what established peace between us and God. It's true that God did not send his only beloved Son into the world to establish peace in this world, but he did send him to establish peace with this world. On the night Jesus was born, the Father, through his angels, declared a unilateral peace treaty with the earth, which we still sing of each Sunday in the liturgy. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. On Christmas, God announces that through his Son, he has made a vertical peace treaty, one between the holy God and sinful mankind. What joy! Not to the world. The world wants a horizontal peace treaty, one between men. This is the Holy Grail, the utopia, the promised land of movie stars, rock singers, and beauty queens. If we could just get peace between Arabs and Israelis, black and white, rich and poor, etc., that would be heaven. In fact, Jesus and his followers are sharply criticized for failing to do that. This peace between God and man that Jesus works and the church proclaims, that means nothing to the world. The world either doesn't think there is any reason for God to be at war with it, or doesn't care if he is. You do. You can live with people angry at you, but not God. You can live with people being divided from you, but not from God. You can live with being forsaken by mother and father, but not by God. And you don't have to live separated from God. And what's more, God doesn't want you divided from everybody else. Jesus said he brings division. That means some are divided from others, but not from everybody. But where do you draw the lines? Back up a step. This text ends with Jesus promising that he brings division on earth. But right before that, Jesus says how distressed he is until he finishes suffering, crying, bleeding, and dying for our sins under the wrath of God. A step before that, Jesus says, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. The good news I have for you this morning is that the fire has been lit. That's only good news if you understand this is gospel and not law. Jesus is not longing to get the fires of judgment going to burn all you miserable sinners. Jesus isn't longing to get the smelting fires roaring to purify all you tainted sinners. Jesus is longing to get the fire of New Testament worship lit as God lit the fire of Old Testament worship. And the tabernacle fire came down from God and consumed the first burnt offering, where people could igniting a supernatural fire on earth, which located God's presence on earth, where people could come to God and God would come to people. The same thing happened after Solomon built the temple. The Lord answered him by fire and moved the Old Testament worship from the tabernacle into the temple. Jesus longed to kindle such a fire on earth, but this fire would not be limited to a particular place or people. It'd be worldwide. Jesus won the right to kindle the blaze by fulfilling the law for sinners and paying for the world's sins. Your sins, my sins, the world's sins were all paid for. And the ocean of God's wrath drank up by Jesus till it was finished. Then Jesus, the man who is God, was welcomed into heaven to reign and rule as a man on behalf of every man, woman, and child. And the first thing he did when he reached the throne is to send his Holy Spirit to earth. And the Holy Spirit lit a new fire on earth. On Pentecost, he came down. On Pentecost, he came down upon the apostles and rested on them in tongues of fire. The New Testament fire was lit, and it was one of gospel, not law. The first thing the new fire did was break down language barriers. The ministers of the word could speak in all sorts of languages. Then the fire went on to burn down the barriers between Jews and Gentiles, slaves and free men and women, and especially between sinners and God. The fire that the Holy Spirit lit in the New Testament church is a fire that unites. As people on a cold night huddle around the same fire, so sinners in this cold, dark night of the sinful world gather around the warmth of God's Holy Spirit in the Christian church. The Holy Spirit burns bright in the warm word of the gospel that forgives sins. The Holy Spirit burns bright in the refreshing waters of baptism that rebirths to everlasting life. The Holy Spirit burns bright in the body and blood of Christ in Holy Communion that joins to God and to each other. There's only one Spirit at work in baptism, one Spirit at work in absolution, one Spirit at work in communion. Jesus only lit one fire on earth by his Holy Spirit. That fire burns in God's Word and Holy Sacrament. Scripture warns about quenching the fire that the Holy Spirit lit. Scripture also warns about pretending there is no difference between the light from his fire and the darkness of sin, death, and the devil. If you make a division where Jesus does not make one, you're putting out the fire. If you acknowledge a unity where Jesus does not make one, you're gathered around a fire that Jesus didn't light. Both are sins. Both put you in danger of losing the Spirit. The Spirit does not call people into fellowship who teach or live differently than Jesus. And the Spirit does not call people to break fellowship over things Jesus doesn't teach. So can you see where we stand as we seek to be faithful to the Lord who has bought us? Jesus can. His church always stands where we are standing. As possessors of the fire that Jesus kindled on earth, she burns some, and she warms others. She attracts some, and she repels others. The fire Jesus lit is to do the attracting, and the fire Jesus lit is to do the repelling, not us. It is not to be our personalities, our picadillos, or our programs that people turn to or away from. No, it's to be the Holy Spirit's teaching, working, and burning in word and sacraments. As we huddle around the warm fire of word and sacraments with the certainty of salvation worked for us and delivered to us by Jesus, then we'll say, nice fire, some Savior. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.